Palm tree. They're dates. They're bunches of dates.
Dates.
No, no, no. They're dates. Each one of those little things that you think is a coconut. Well, if this is a particular tree that... It's a date palm, Jackie. Let's go to Psalm 92. Yeah, we did, so we don't have to go there. Go Psalm 118.
Deja vu.
We're trying to take pages. Astute observation.
Psalm 118.
The Hallel. This is what we sing, remember, guys?
Give thanks unto the Lord.
My faith.
Huh? Verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. And remember, Psalm 118 is read at very specific times. It's only read in the temple on those three feasts. Tabernacles, Passover, Pentecost. It's the only time it's read. Where did I start? The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Now, as they were singing this psalm, Jesus is riding towards the gate of the temple. And as they're singing it, they are taking the branches, the palm branches they've had in their hand. Remember, this is at Passover. They're taking the palm branches from tabernacles because they understand it's finished. They understand he's Messiah. They're taking the palm branches from tabernacles at the Feast of Passover, laying them not only just in their hands, but they're laying him down on the pathway so that he rides across the palm branches. Remember what I told you? They couldn't even hold a palm branch unless they saw that the accusers were vanquished. Now they're not only, they held it to bring it to Jerusalem. Now it's the ultimate. It's the emptying. It's laying down their victory for him. Do you understand that? It's the ultimate of emptying. It's what faith is, the emptying. And laying their garments down that he might walk or ride across them. But they're doing it as they're singing these words. He's getting closer and closer to the gate. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. He's almost at the gate. This Christ, this Messiah, is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The palm branches laid down by everybody as he's proceeding. This now is the day which the Lord hath made. We will be glad. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, Hosanna, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. And this is what it's looking. No, before we get to Psalm 18, I want to set the stage for you what's happening so you know this. And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this, say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him here. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where the two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him.
You know what's weird? That, I mean, besides all the fact that he knew it was there, and everything happened the way it went, that was an unbroken animal, and it just... He sat on it, and that was it.
Amen.
It didn't even jump around.
That's great.
Just touched it.
And many spread their garments.
He loosened his clothes.
The people put their garments. The disciples put their over garment on the colt.
Okay.
And then these people, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. Now in the other gospel it says they strewed palm branches in the way. And they went before, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, and this is the quote from Psalm 18, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, that's the scene. It's at Passover. This is the last Passover. This is the feast. This year is, remember, I told you about this year. It's the year of Jubilee. And therefore, people from every part of the world are in Jerusalem for this year to claim their land. Remember? So they're there for purposes of commerce. So there's jillions of people in Jerusalem. Josephus says, on this Passover, there were 250,000 lambs slain in the temple. 250,000. That's one lamb per ten, somewhere between 10 to 20 people. That means there was 2.5 to 5 million people, males, because that's all that ate the Passover there. You understand? That were in Jerusalem for this Passover, from all over the world, from every country of the known world there. And so...
I mean, we have it rough. We just have to drive out to the
Yeah. So these people... These people... The ones that were not resident in Jerusalem, the ones that were not resident in Judea, but the Jews from elsewhere, are the ones that are now convinced that this is Messiah. Because they've been hanging around with him for almost a year now. Because all of them let the land fallow for the 50th year. They came back to Jerusalem to claim their homelands. Got it? You got the picture? All right. Now we got to go to Psalm 118.
That's so bizarre.
Go ahead.
They have a jubilee year, you know, and it's, no matter how much wealth you amassed, or no matter how well you've done for the last 50 years, it was like...
Or how poor you did.
Yeah.
You know what I think?
You're back to square one.
What I think is neat about that is that they did that really every year at Tabernacles.
Well, he emptied the treasury in the temple, but this is the people. The people became, they could have had other wealth from other sources that wasn't, but the land, which was the source of wealth, was distributed back to the same distribution process that took place when Joshua entered the land, to the families. That's a big deal.
Did they do this every 50 years?
Now, they never did it right. They was always corrupt.
Oh, you're kidding. What a shock.
Okay. Now, so there, Jesus is on the colt of the ass, and he's riding towards the gate, going into the court of women. I mean, the court of Gentiles and the court of women. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, or save now, that's what Hosanna means. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Now, this is the meaning of prosperity, or fortune, spiritually. Send now the fruit of the completed journey. You understand? you know, I would that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. That's one that all these guys use all the time. The word for prosperity means to have a complete, that the journey would be completed successfully. This end would be seen. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now that's the end of the Hallel. As the Hallel ended, he's now inside the gates. Palm branches.
I said that thing about prosperity being the end of the journey. I thought about when we came walking down the path. That was really a big deal to me Saturday night. When we walked down the path, a short walk, right? But it's symbolic. When we got to the end of that walk, just before we came into the building, that's, you know, the journey. That twisting, turning, crooked, dark road was behind us, and none of it mattered.
Amen.
Yeah, we all got there together. And it was
amazing. Now, I don't know about you, but anybody that denigrates that experience infuriates me. Anybody that says that that experience is one of Judaizing, or in some way makes it less than the mystery, God help them. Understand me? To me, that was breathtaking.
Man,
wow. It was. It, yeah, usually nothing ever lives up to your expectations, but it went beyond, well beyond.
It's one of those things that you can't even explain and make it, I mean, you know, no matter what words you use, there's no way you can find the description for how beautiful it was.
Then to look back and, I mean, it was just complete darkness. And then you enter in and there's light.
That was worth emptying the treasury for.
Oh, sure.
I thought of the scripture, you know, where the woman breaks the perfume over Christ and says, hey, you could have spent the money, you know, that to feed the poor, but it's the same kind of deal. I mean, man. Could have been no higher use for that money.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Thank God we didn't have electricity down there because the allotted light was, that was it. I mean,
yeah.
I could feel that light. You know, it's interesting you said that, Ed, because, you know, when you tell somebody, like my parents, for example, you say, yeah, we spent almost $1,000 on paint for the inside of a barn. Their minds can't handle that. I mean, it's like, why on earth, you know, if you had that kind of money, would you spend that painting the inside of a barn white?
Well, I snuck up on you again. This is really devious.
Just like when you do that.
This is really manipulative.
Can we admit something?
Is it really?
This is what I did. Is really bad manipulation.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, oh boy, what will I tell thee?
Hold on to your neck.
Everything she said was right.
I knew it.
The only one who is allowed to eat the heart of the palm is the priest.
Holy. It was devious.
And as you eat the heart of the palm, it represents the 24 benefits.
Is that kind of like the salad we had the other night? Was it kind of like the cup of Elijah? Yeah.
The heart's a palm salad.
Tricked into the eating. Like a
we had a Mickey slip.
I had two of them.
But I ate it today.
I didn't like one. She must have ate it.
But
she's more spiritual than you, Ed.
I mean, he who eats of the palm heart shall be beaten with the stick of a dried up palm.
Oh.
And the stick of the dried up palm are on a date palm, the palm branch has stickers like a thorn. There are thorns.
Yeah.
And the thorns that you will be beaten by are the apostate in Israel, the ones that leave.
Wow.
He that eats of the hearts of palm, that's what, let not many be masters, for in many things you will offend all. But when you eat the heart of the palm, then he who eats the heart of the palm shall be beaten with the stick of the dried up palm.
Okay?
Okay?
Oh,
He went back twice today for those suckers.
Yeah, they're up here. They're up here now.
Yeah, I know.
I still don't get it. I still don't get it.
The only ones that were allowed to eat of the heart of the palm were the priests.
Yeah.
Because of its spiritual meaning.
Oh, well, that's all right. Levites can be priests, but priests can't be Levites. So, Harry, hang in.
And what does it say that about the apostate of Israel?
What's apostate mean?
The ones that have turned their back on the promise.
That's really it.
Back, turn their heart. Where does it say it? Yeah, this is Talmud.
So we get beaten by them?
Mm-hmm. Spiritual.
You're beaten spiritually.
I like your target.
Okay. In Revelation 7, we are told of the righteous clothed in white, but they have the palm branch in their hand. Now you got to hear this. You can't hold the palm in your hand unless the accuser is vanquished. All of your enemies are dead when you hold the palm in your hand. That's the meaning. You understand it? So when they in the book of Revelation, what?
Is it like you can't, it's impossible, or if you try to hold the palm branch and the enemy's not vanquished, you're in deep trouble?
You're in deep trouble.
Okay.
Deep, deep trouble.
You start to rage.
Now, in Solomon's temple, in 1 Kings 6:29, it says, "And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubim and palm trees." So inside the temple itself, the decorations on that were carved into this incredible marble, the only decorations were cherubim and palm trees. Now, so the palm tree, and in parts, and these were the words of God, have to have, have to be at the same level of importance as the cherubim. The cherubim are that which is sitting on the mercy seat. The cherubim are that which is guarding the fruit of the tree of life. I mean, the palm tree has some incredible, it's an incredible mind-blowing picture, if we can see it. Okay? Can you imagine the palm trees carved on the walls of the temple? So wherever you looked inside the temple, you saw the palm tree and the cherubim. Now we've lost what the cherubim looked like. It's lost to antiquity. We have no idea what the cherubim looked like. But we haven't lost what the palm tree looks like.
In the throne, and that, would the palms be at the foot of the throne? I mean, is it over like the cherubim, or do we know?
No, we don't know. Okay, in much of the Middle East, in the area where the Bible was written, man's existence depends on the palm tree being there. The palm tree is a picture of him, but it's more clearly, it's the clearest, if we could see, it's the clearest picture we have in nature of our life in him. Now, it's difficult for us because we're not around palm trees, date palms. When I was growing up in Arizona, what's now Scottsdale, Arizona, or one-fourth of Scottsdale, Arizona, was a plantation owned by my family. And it was nothing but rows upon rows upon rows upon rows of date palms. I mean, I know date palms intimately. We've had sex together.
You dated them.
No, I'm just kidding. They are mind-blowingly neat trees. And I'm going to try to share some of the mysteries about them here, okay?
This is really grabbing me because, I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, one of the things that just really grabbed me out of the Bible was that there's three different places where it says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And gives fruit this season, his leaf doesn't wither when there's drought, all that kind of stuff.
It's a palm tree.
It's been really important to me, and I haven't known why.
Sure, there's a blight that's killing all the palm trees.
I didn't know that.
Mexico, especially the date palm. It's incredible.
It kills
the palm tree. What'd you say, Jackie?
There's a blight killing the palm trees.
It's a virus or something. They can't stop it, really. Mm-hmm. And it's killing the palm trees.
The palm tree is a picture of our life in him. The palm is an evergreen. It's almost impossible to conceive of an evergreen in the desert. It's the only evergreen in the desert. The leaf does not wither. In verse Psalm 1, go to Psalm 1. There's a lot of psalm stuff. Psalm, that's the reason we're studying this is because psalm is a hot lot like palm. It's just, you know, it has one letter. Huh?
Do they have pictures of this?
What? Do I?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
You can go down to school and
read
the encyclopedia and look up palm. I'm sure
there's a picture.
Yeah, it's verse 3. There's 3 places
to say
it.
I know.
It's,
well, I know you know, but look. It amazes me. He says it 3 times. I got hooked on palm on dates during the vow.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah. I mean, I just love them.
I love them. They're good for you.
They're so sweet. I mean, they're one of the most, they're sweetest, inherently sweet pieces of.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now remember, we talked last time about Revelation 21, 22. But that's, I believe, the palm tree is the tree of life. The date palm.
Well, that sure changes a lot of images.
Now, let's go there. Go to Revelation 22. I'll tell you why I do. No, no, let's leave it there. We're not there yet. We'll go to the Revelation later. Okay, you understand? So the idea of having an evergreen in the desert, it's the leaf. It's, the leaves are always green. There's always something taking place. Doesn't matter what it looks like.
It means there's water there.
Huh? It means that... It means that, I mean, that's a picture of us and in him. Do you understand? All right. Most other trees, in fact, as far as I know, all of the trees, but I can't say all, are dead in the center of the tree.
Right. They grow.
And there's a thin layer of bark that the life of the tree is just, the bark is dead, and the inside of the tree is dead, and the only place that the tree is alive is right beneath the bark where the sap goes up. You understand? Mm-hmm. The palm tree has its life hidden in the exact center of the tree, and it draws its life up through the center of the trunk. And it's a straight shot, but you can't see it. There's no, the palm tree doesn't have any branches or twists. It's a straight shot.
The bark was terrible.
I mean, we're going to wait till we get some... What?
Well, it made me think of the grapevine, where you can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Outward abuse does not affect its life in any negative way. It affects the quality of fruit in a positive way. As long as it has a part of the heart left to convey the water from its roots to its branches, it will live and produce fruit even though it be cut all around and mangled horribly with an axe. In fact, if it's cut and mangled, the fruit that it produces is sweeter than if it's unmangled. Though our outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. Now, let's go to Romans 8. Let's look at that real quick. I like that one. We haven't studied Romans 8 for a long time.
You usually yell.
Huh?
You usually yell.
I usually yell at Romans?
You used to.
Well, there's a new me, though. Who is he that condemneth? Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Let's go 33. Remember, we've got the palm branch in our hand. That's the meaning. The only time we can really read this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Hallelujah. Who is he that condemneth? The implication is, who is he that dares to condemn? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now remember, consider the palm tree with axes and mangled. And shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, the palm tree, the date palm, is the best picture that I know of this whole life that we know about Jesus Christ. It's gone. You like this? The palm tree never grows by making additions to the outside of its diameter. And this is really weird.
What does that mean?
I'm about to tell you. I'm glad you asked.
Trees have rings.
Trees have rings and they get fat as they grow up, and you can tell how old a tree. Did you ever in your like biology class or something or zoology cut a tree in half and count see how old it is?
Probably cut Harry's fingers.
Dr. Science would know that.
Yes.
You could tell where there was a drought and where there was.
Of course I knew that.
Okay. You were just testing the rest of
it. That's right.
Does not grow by making additions to the outside of its diameter. It only grows upward, adding year by year fresh joints on the very top. A 10-year-old tree will have as much thickness as a 100-year-old tree. So there's no outward stuff.
Like when it's really baby, it's already exploring.
Yeah. And remember that the palm trees at my mother's house? They're short and fat, and then there's the other one's huge and fat.
Same thing.
So, and that little one is its baby, and it's short and fat. I mean, it's just the little one's 25 years old, and it's still a short, fat thing. The big one is. The palm bears fruit every single month of the year. It always has at the top fruit in every stage of development.
Cool.
Along with fresh,
pushes it off.
Along with fresh blossoms every month.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It always is a picture of the whole process. It's got a blossom and it's got ripe fruit at the same time. Okay, let's go to Revelation 22 now.
It's instant.
What?
It's instant.
It's the only fruit.
It's in season all the time.
It's the only tree that does that. Do you understand?
It's a great type.
Revelation 22. Revelation 22.
What's in the Red Letter Exchange?
What did the Red Letter Exchange say?
He knew that. She said it was in season all the time.
She says one teeny nighting little thing and she gets a blessing. I work my ass off. I don't even get a clap.
Is it asexual?
A bunch of ingrates. Rex.
Now you got the
clap. Rex didn't even. Will you do something about these?
I'll tell you what.
Is it asexual?
Huh?
Is it asexual?
You get rid of that whole couch over there.
That's a really wild part.
That's right.
We haven't got the sex part of it yet.
The sex part.
What?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You
gotta talk about
sex.
You
got
Jackie's
interesting.
You better go home.
What?
All right. Wait until he gets later at night before he does the sex part.
No,
first date.
Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I don't know what that means. The leaves of this tree were for the healing of the nations, but I know it's important. You sort of have that feeling?
Yeah.
We better find out what that means. But it's the only, again, this is the only tree that I know about that has fruit every month. And that at every, and the top of that sucker, hidden away because you can't see it, you know, because all the leaves are running around, is every stage of the fruit. There is something to me, especially in the desert. If you've ever been in the deserts in the Middle East, where there's, I mean, it's, we're talking bad desert. There's nothing there. And then all of a sudden you come upon, and in the distance you see these incredibly tall, straight trees. It's the same kind of breathtaking experience that we had when we went in. And even when I was a kid, and there were date palms all over the place, and I still have, I mean, I was just fascinated. And I always climbed them, and I always hurt myself because I kept getting those sticker things on them. But anyway, there's something mystical. There's some kind of a mystical beauty of them. Yeah. Now, strong winds break ordinary trees because ordinary leaves collect the wind. So, like, they're miniature sailboats, right? But the palm allows the palm branches and leaves, whatever, they're not really leaves, the wind just passes right through them. And the trunk of the palm will bend in such strong wind, it will bend down to so that the top touches the ground and then have enough resilience to go back up again when the winds have passed. That which is underground is interesting. Again, different from all other plants or trees that I'm aware of. Each palm root is the same size as it's from it at its stem and its base. You know, normal roots are tapered, you know, and then there's all kinds of little branches that go off, and each one of those is tapered. So what that means is the tapering makes it so that they're easy to tip over because there's nothing in the palm. It's the same length. It's the same diameter at the base of the tree as it is at the bottom of the root, and the bottom of the root may be hundreds of feet down. Hundreds. Maybe more. Maybe even. I mean, it's unbelievable how far that they go down to reach the tap water. Now. They go extremely deep in the ground. They tap the hidden underground water, the greater the drought, they know when a drought's coming, and the roots start going down really deep before the drought hits. I mean, it's almost weird. I mean, it's almost. Let's go to Isaiah 37.
Telepathic trees.
Isaiah 37, verse 21. Oh, wait, verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. He's talking about the Sennacherib, the bad guy, right? The guy from Babylon. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord. You remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah is the guy, the neat guy. Remember? Passover guy. Hezekiah is the Passover guy. He's the one that, he's sort of, nobody understood anything bad about high places, and all of a sudden, he destroyed all high places. So sort of like us. Nobody in our generation knows high places are evil. Okay. If you want to, Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Doesn't matter what it looks like you've done. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots am I come to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. And I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? I mean, do you remember what he did? I mean, this is what happened to Sennacherib. It became a ghost town because he moved the course of the river a little bit. You remember? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops and as the corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. Now that's us. We shall take root downward, and bear fruit upward towards the living God. Okay. Ordinary trees diminish their yield or fruit as they grow older. Palm trees do the opposite. Some palm trees do not bear any fruit at all until they're over 50 years old, until they mature. As the palm trees age, their fruit grows both more abundant and sweeter. Go to Psalm 92. Okay. Read the 12th, 13th, and 14th verse.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. Amen.
In palm trees, a sleek trunk gives ordinary fruit. The scarred trunk gives sweet fruit. Now we're getting to the Talmud stuff. That wasn't Talmud stuff. This is Talmud stuff. Dreaming of a palm tree.
Punching a man.
Dreaming. Would you like to know what dreaming of a palm tree means?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Dreaming of a palm tree is a sign that your sin has come to an end. Dreaming of the palm branch. If you have a dream of the palm branch or the lulav, it indicates that you are serving God with all of your heart. The Talmud compares Isaac and Rebekah, Moses and Aaron, but especially David and the Messiah with the palm tree. Especially Messiah, more than anything else. A palm branch indicates the victory. When an Israelite holds the palm branch, it's the victory over all his enemies and his accusers. Now, just as every part of the palm is useful and has no waste, the branches are used for the halal. The fruit is sweet, is eaten as the revelation of God. Twigs are used for booths. The bast, you know, the little bast, the stuff,
hair.
The hair-like stuff, is used to make rope, to strengthen, to tie the body together. The leaves are used for brooms, and the boards for ceilings, the planed straight part is used for ceilings. So none are worthless in Israel.
We're good.
Now, the branches indicate those that study the scripture. The fruit indicates those that study the Mishnah. The twigs indicate those that study the Haggadah. The bast indicates those that do pious deeds. The leaves indicate those that do charitable acts. The boards indicate those whose ministry is prayer. All in Israel can do one of those things. So none in Israel are worthless.
What's the heart between the priests?
Again, where you bind the palm, there bind your foot. There's a million stories that if you leave, I won't go into that because it sounds... you stay for the rest of your life. Bind it again. You're bound to the horns of the altar. As the palm tree throws its shade only at a great distance, so the reward for the righteous is far, far away. There is absolutely no reward for righteousness in this world. Zero. As the palm yields juicy dates. Okay. As the palm tree yields nice fruit.
Juicy dates.
And dates and dates of an inferior quality. And also produces thorns. So it is with Israel. There are scholars of Torah, the juicy dates. There are plain country people, the interior people. And there are boorish persons, the thorns.
Yeah, those scholarly guys are juicy dates.
Okay, as the palm tree yields good dates, which enter the storehouse, and inferior dates which do not, so with Israel. Some enter the promise, and some do not. As the palm produces dates as well as thorns, a Gentile trying to steal the dates will be hurt. As the matter from the palm, the wood, etc., cannot be used for tools. The wood is too soft. So it is with Israel. They have no utilitarian purpose in the world. As the palm, go to Psalm 25. As the palm heart shoots straight up, does not twist or fork as with other trees, so it is with Israel in Psalm 25. Read Psalm 25:15.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net.
Okay. Okay, here, are you ready for the sexy part?
Yes.
Well, let me see if I can. You're really a bitch. Remember about palm with palm reels? As the palm has desire, so the righteous have desire. What is their desire? This is explained in a story. There was once a palm tree in Amatho. Amatho is like way on the other side of Israel, like near the coast. There was once a palm tree in Amatho that did not yield any fruit. Year after year, it yielded no fruit. And finally, a palm gardener passed by and saw it. Said he, This female tree looks only to a male palm from Jericho. As soon as they joined it, it yielded fruit. In other words, the palm tree will only accept pollen from a it won't indiscriminately accept pollen from everybody. It's almost like a palm tree mates for life kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you can't just go indiscriminately spread pollen around from any tree. It has to be from one tree before it'll produce the fruit. It wasn't that sexy, but it's interesting. As the palm never bears less than 3 new shoots. As the palm never bears less than 3 new shoots, so Israel never lacks 3 righteous men in the world. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 3 young men, and they give an infinite number. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, it says, I will climb up into the palm tree, I will take hold of the branches thereof. It's talking about the bride. And just as one who ascends to the top of the palm will fall and die if he doesn't cling, so anyone who climbs and joins with Israel will die if he doesn't cling to the community. Last one that I started with. He who eats of the palm heart shall be beaten with the stick of a dried palm. Well, there's some, think of the next time I promise you, you'll never be able to look at a palm tree again without.
I think we should go look at some palm trees.
Well, anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.